Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Please God. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and reading to verse 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Verse 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet still speaks." Verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The word "please" in Strong's is number 2100. It comes from another word which means to gratify entirely, or to please well. The quantity and quality of your faith in this life depends on what you are hoping for. If you want something eternal, then you have to hear, trust, and obey His voice consistently. If you let opportunities to please God under pressure pass by, then you are listening to the flesh. Faith is trusting God that He is trustworthy to do what He said He would do in complicated situations. Noah responded to God's divine judgment to save his family and the animals. His actions condemned everyone else, as they only had to save themselves with a small boat. When you hear the truth and do not act, your faith is dead too. Soon this world will be destroyed by fire. 2 Peter 3, verses 5 to 7. It is therefore critical that you make yourself ready for his appearing. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Enoch learned to please God by trial and error over a period lasting more than 300 years. Faith is always based on conviction and correction of the Holy Spirit, not just facts and knowledge of the Bible, because you have to remove the unbelief in your own heart personally. Comfortable Christians believe it's hard or impossible to please God because they listen to their flesh instead of following His instructions. Romans 8 and verse 8. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 25. I'm reading the book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 22. "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels." Verse 23. "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Use the blood of Jesus if you're born again, because with it you can come back into his presence and get the help you need to repent deeply and stop sinning. Those with just worldly sorrow never find life. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Godly sorrow and deep repentance is the door to the narrow way. Stay on it and you will get an opportunity to remove all unbelief with grace and truth. Grow rapidly and have a clear conscience to serve the living God. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Citizens of heaven have learned to do the will of God under pressure. Matthew 7 and verse 21. You'll rub shoulders with those who pursued faith more than you in their lifetime. Grace is now increasing for those who want to use humble circumstances to develop their faith in the last days. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20, I'm reading to verse 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Verse 24, but I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The foolish assume another preacher of righteousness will come along soon because they do not want to believe that deep repentance is really necessary for eternal salvation. There is no shortcut to holiness and pleasing God. The foolish virgins today wait for the church to do something or rely on someone else to help them. Matthew 25 and verse 8. The wicked and lazy servants on the Broadway will tell you God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. Matthew 25, 24 to 30. Wise virgins learn from their mistakes under pressure, respond to conviction, and keep records when others are asleep spiritually. Matthew 25 and verse 4. God is offering you a spiritual education through regular repentance, but you have to be a fool for Christ's sake. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. Yoke to him. Record areas where you listen to the voice of common sense and reason instead for the sake of your flesh. The devil's a thief and wants you to develop bad habits, resist conviction, and forget stumbling blocks that can produce the greatest amount of spiritual growth through deep repentance. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. For more information on removing the hindrances to pure faith, please read the chapter Hindrances to Faith in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. When you start, your faith is hypocritical. If you are lazy, then you will not remove the hindrances so that you can please God under pressure. Passing on Bible doctrines that you do not do consistently yourself under pressure is vain jangling. Your hypocritical faith will attract others in the church serving two masters that do not want to repent deeply, and you will be a castaway yourself. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to verse 31. This is Genesis chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You cannot function in authority until you first learn to be under authority. Through sin, a divine connection was lost for man to be his faithful representative in a world of compromise. Jesus, however, at the cross, paid the price. So don't be lazy. Eternal life is given to his sheep that are willing to hear, trust, and obey God in all areas. Lazy and wicked servants use their minds to come to the truth because they do not like conviction and correction, but decide what God is saying or not saying with their minds. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Jews were taught about the seriousness of sin in the wilderness through animal sacrifices that God made acceptable so that those humbling themselves could hear his voice in complicated situations by grace. One whole generation with unbelief in their hearts perished in the wilderness because they were unwilling to be corrected and sanctified. Submitted to Christ, your life, led and controlled by the Spirit, will bring glory to the Father. Sin and the knowledge of good and evil will stop you becoming true sons of God through ways that seem right to your mind. Man without God is just a vapor. James 4 and verse 14. Use earthly wisdom sparingly or you will start boasting. We read in the Psalms 103 verses 10 to 13. This is in the Psalms 103. Starting in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. For as the heaven is higher above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Repent deeply when convicted, or you'll keep sinning. Sin is anything that is contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. You'll not experience grace and mercy consistently without the fear of God. The root of all sin in your life is a lie that you believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh. There is forgiveness in Jesus' name. However, those who fear God study the word of truth. God can cover a multitude of sin while you work out your salvation in one or two areas, in fear and trembling. In challenging situations, record in a notebook whatever stops you trusting God with all your heart. Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Paul was not thinking about the latest sporting activities or surveying world affairs. Consistently righteous are filled with the knowledge and wisdom of God by emptying themselves first. Are you meditating on what Jesus had to do to sit at the right-hand side of the Father? In these last days, Jesus is standing and knocking on the door of many unbelieving, stony hearts in the body of Christ, thinking about earthly things. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Jesus finished the work of his Father at the age of 33 as a Savior of the world, even though he had the burden of the cross on his mind the whole time. A victim mentality is making the church lazy today. But with God, all things are possible if you believe. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Choose the flesh and the devil will make your life comfortable, so you keep sinning and end up in hell. Choose God, and you get truth and conviction, now through the Spirit, but later, an eternal inheritance. The devil is not the problem, and those that do not work out their own salvation are wicked and lazy. Disciples deny themselves completely, lose their earthly interests, and take up their cross daily, Luke 9 and verse 23, because they know that they will deny Christ at the end without the right priorities. With such a great salvation, the desires of your earthly members that feed the flesh can be mortified through repentance. Colossians 3 and verse 5. The flesh will always choose shallow repentance, so rely on godly sorrow passing away to get to the root issue when convicted. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 8 and verse 5 says, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Before you are born again, you could only gratify the flesh and make it happy by doing what it wants. Now you have a liberty to gratify God by promptly obeying the Spirit with a right motive and attitude through the Holy Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit are opposed to each other, so you will have to choose and keep choosing until the flesh dies by gratifying the Spirit consistently. Galatians 5:16. You can crucify the flesh with its passions and lusts. Galatians 5, verse 24. You were told by Jesus not to think about your own needs, as this is feeding the flesh if you're born again. Matthew chapter 6, 24 and 25. If you're always thinking about your earthly needs, your faith is not pure. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whosoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out." You are blessed if you get a taste of what Christ went through, being treated like a criminal, for example. Without earnestly and diligently trying to please God in trials and difficulties, you will not get answers on how to develop faith and therefore please God. You will never understand the Bible and the things of God without conviction. The killing of the Christ proved that the Jews studying the law with their natural minds were used by the devil instead. Earthly wisdom is sensual and devilish, and with it, you'll be a channel of strife and confusion. James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Those taking up their cross daily on the narrow way get a regular supply of godly wisdom, and with it, they overcome sin. You can always ask for more wisdom when things get complicated, and God will not judge you, James 1 and verse 5. But remember, he can read your mind, and he can also see if you have doubts. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just verse 1. "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Those walking by faith with God can rejoice always because the kingdom of God is here now. Romans 14 and verse 17. God provides what you really need. He is love and has not been corrupted by the devil. Jesus showed us the way by never consulting his own will in complicated situations. John 5 and verse 30. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1 says, "Furthermore, brethren, we beg and admonish you in virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus, that you follow the instructions which you learned from us about how you ought to walk, so as to please and gratify God, as indeed you are doing, and that you do it so even more and more abundantly, attaining yet greater perfection in living this life. Follow his instructions, and that way you will never gratify the flesh. He will not give you a way that seems right to your mind, because he loves you. Since the world was created through his word, man without following his instruction is faithless. There is no shortcut by just confessing the word of truth. Here are three important steps for you to become perfect. Number one, bring your thoughts under control when he is speaking. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Number two, receive his word with meekness and joy. James 1 and verse 21. And number three, walk by faith and not by sight consistently. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. God will finish what he started, but you have to be patient under trials. God's plan includes everyone else's salvation too. God will also get the glory when you become even more perfect under trial. Faith is also letting go and letting God do what he wants by his grace. Have no preference about whether God provides a solution through his wisdom or his power. Jesus taught in John chapter 16. I'm reading chapter 16 verses 20 to 23. This is John's gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 20. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but the sorrow shall be turned into joy." Verse 21, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." Verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you." Verse 23, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In the upper room, Jesus told his disciples the world would rejoice at his death because they did not like the truth. However, seeing Jesus in the same physical body, getting the victory over sin, hell, and the grave, by submitting to God, would replace the sorrow in his disciples with a deep eternal joy. You should still have the joy of eternal salvation, unless you've been drawn away through the lust of the flesh. Jesus told the disciples that they would not be asking him anything after the cross, but have their own direct relationship with God by the Spirit as part of his family. Christianity is not a man-made religion with rules, but a relationship between a holy God and all those who serve him for eternity. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 2. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The phrase "you fall into" in Strong's is number 4045. It comes from two other words, which means to fall into something that is all around. That is, light among or upon or be surrounded with or fall into. Doing his perfect will under pressure will produce the greatest amount of joy in the Father and for you. John 16 and verse 24. Unbelief and a loss of joy comes from thinking that manifests in those unwilling to develop intimacy in trials and difficulties. Do not deceive yourself. As a small amount of joy, just following Christian traditions and singing choruses is not the same. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 1 and verse 2 says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. The manifested sons of God that can rejoice in complicated situations will be used to judge the unbelieving that seek some comfort from the wrong things. If you cannot consider trials of any sort joyfully, you are listening to a wrong voice through the flesh. The mature can rejoice even when pressure comes from the world and from other brothers and sisters backsliding in the church. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. This is Ephesians chapter 4, and reading verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. In the Living Bible, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, if you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you're angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Those suffering for righteousness' sake in the last days will rejoice later. Looking back, they will see what would have happened if they did not obey the truth. Your life will not bring glory to God on earth if you're always getting in the flesh when things do not go according to your plan, like a spoilt child. God always has a better plan, but that will include suffering for a while. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Learn to hear his voice under pressure because you will not keep to his plan otherwise. The devil gets access through sin long before you get angry. Your paths need to be straightened by asking God in many areas. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. As the devil can get a foothold when you are still crooked, when you believe it's no longer necessary to acknowledge God in all your ways, repent deeply because you're becoming high-minded. Romans 12 and verse 2. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1. I'm reading to verse 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 5 and verse 3 says, blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those following Christ will be the envy of everyone in the last days as grace is increasing. Those in the wilderness that inclined their ear and kept his commands in the Old Testament were also blessed. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2. Comfortable Christians miss the blessings because they do not work on their communication with God and have a confidence in the flesh instead. Jesus did not make it easy for anyone to attend his seminars or let huge crowds advance his public ministry. Jesus gave his teachings to the few willing to climb a mountain, leave the crowds behind, sit on a rock, or stand for long periods. They had to feel a cold breeze in their face and not forget anything they heard in the process or get distracted later. Gideon's army was made up of men who were alert even when taking a sip of water. Judges chapter 7 and verse 5. In the Message Bible, Matthew 5, 3 to 12 says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. You are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more and no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything you can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you've ever eaten. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when you're commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer and even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. The Gospels record the fact that the disciples were often thinking and following their own ideas. They wrote about their failures so we could learn from their mistakes. Whenever anyone experiences conviction now, there is no excuse for his people not to study and repent deeply with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Gospels. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Those invited to the wedding in the body of Christ, still naked at his appearing, will be cast outside. Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 to 13. You should be working out your own salvation now in fear and trembling. Old things should be passing away. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Do not just repent of bad works. Our foundation is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. God uses conviction and pressure to expose areas where your faith is misplaced or weak. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, but he can only be your advocate if he knows you in terms of your obedience under pressure in your personal life. He will not try you beyond your ability to obey. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And if you do sin, there is forgiveness. But still, you have to find the reason why you sinned and repent with grace and truth. Complicated situations are designed by God to increase your understanding so that you're not ignorant of God's ways. If Christ has apprehended you, then you will not ask anything for the sake of your flesh. With his abundant grace or divine favor, it is possible for his people to overcome sin. The godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. But do not be lazy and listen to a spirit of fear through the flesh, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He does not need your advice or help with his plan. Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8. There is a war going on in heaven, and the angels faithful to God are called holy, fighting in a conflict that Christ could easily end with his divine power. When the devil deceived one third of the angels, the policy in heaven did not change. It's still holiness unto the Lord. Exodus 28 and verse 36. The holy angels worked longer hours since one third left, followed the devil and believed a lie that they did not need to hear and obey to be holy as he is holy. Jesus has been ruling for about 2,000 years by the Spirit, and he may appear corrupt with everything that is happening in these last days. God is also shaking things to help his lazy people ask more questions in prayer. The only reason you do not receive is because you do not ask enough questions. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Do not waste time explaining your situation because he knows and already has all the answers. You just need to have ears to hear his specific instructions. There is nothing more foolish than his people giving God advice about anything. You will never question the will of the Father under pressure if you have the mind of Christ. If you cannot just hear, trust, and obey consistently, your mind needs renewing. We read in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm starting in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God's ways are higher than man's ways, as the heavens are above the earth. Isaiah 55:8-9. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then you just need to hear, trust, and obey. God is not a respecter of persons. The biggest challenge today is for those who have a confidence in the flesh, trying to enter the kingdom of heaven before time runs out. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6. I'm reading to verse 12. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, starting in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. Verse 6. Saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11, And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Verse 12, Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The day of no repentance is coming soon. With a shaking, his people are under pressure to ask the question, What is happening to us? The devil is working hard to make everyone comfortable so they forget about what is going on around them. Those who insist on preserving their comfortable lives will soon have to accept the mark of the beast and suffer the eternal consequences. The everlasting gospel is that man, by the grace of God, can now hear his voice consistently because of what Jesus has done. He paid the price. If you're born again, but you still need to hear, trust, and obey God consistently to become a son of God through the Spirit. Living by faith, you can experience a new father without all the comforts of the flesh and join a new family of faith. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. So hast thou also made them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Verse 16, Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. Nicolaitan doctrines included the promotion of moral corruption mixed with paganism, specifically teaching that it was acceptable for Christians to participate in idolatrous feasts and engage in sexual immorality. There will also be a blurring of lines between faith and worldly practices in the last days when Jesus appears for his bride too. Matthew 24 and verse 38. Such teachings are to be hated because they pervert grace into a license, encouraging believers to indulge in sin while claiming freedom similar to deceptive teachings of Balaam. In contrast, those following Christ under pressure at the end of their lives are given a white stone with a new name. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, 11 and 12. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." There's always a happy ending in a good story. Everyone will be praising God that Jesus kept to the Father's plan like a lamb at the end. You can also do the same by obeying the Holy Spirit consistently in your own life. Jesus is still submitted, and even now is keeping to the Father's plan. He intercedes for the saints that they will repent of thinking in complicated situations when they should be listening. Romans 8 and verse 27. The Father's plan gives everyone a chance to make themselves ready for his appearing with grace and truth that Jesus provided. John 1 and verse 17. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one. Do you have a solid hope of the resurrection with some evidence? And if not, why not? Number two, what are some of the hindrances to faith that you have removed so that you can please God? Give three examples. Number three, who is responsible for processing conviction and why? If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted to heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Both Jew and Gentile have an equal opportunity now, through conviction, to hunger for righteousness and please God. Those with a heart after God see conviction and correction as a blessing. If you don't see it that way by now, you need EyeSalver, Revelation 3, 17 to 19. Now it's possible through the Holy Spirit living within you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to get a excellent spiritual education ready for eternity. I hope through this message you fix your excitement on the eternal riches that will come for obeying God under pressure consistently. Do not let yourself become puffed up with vain ministry works or knowledge if you want to finish your race. Put on the helmet of salvation, or you'll start thinking negatively about trials and difficulties in humble circumstances. Make a stand and use the rightly revealed word of truth, not the written word, to get the answers you need to please God consistently. Ephesians 6 and 17. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for everyone who's been listening to this message. I know that you've given them some key scriptures to study and to use for their own salvation, and that as they present themselves to you, and ask you more questions, that in areas where they've never really pleased you before, they're going to please you by faith alone. And that their quantity of their faith and the quality of their faith is going to increase as they repent of the things that you show them. I pray that in Jesus' name. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.